Good morning, brethren and friends. I will take your phone this week. You know, we have been singing of the love of the Lord Jesus, and it's indeed a very precious thought. But I want to change that a little and speak of love from a different side. And it's really our love for Him instead of His love for us. That can't be questioned. He has proven it in coming into the scene, going to Calvary's cross, and as we've said many times, the pain through which He passed at the hands of man, yeah, that was bad, more than many of us could endure. But the reality and what scared Him, what drew the deep anguish of soul that we find, was not the beating and the scourging. It was being made sin. Because that was far worse to Him than anything that man could do. I'll just read three passages quickly from 1 Samuel chapter 18 and make some applications. Verse 1, and it came to pass when he had ended speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loves him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his dress, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 25 of 2 Samuel chapter 1. For the mighty fall in the midst of a battle, Jonathan is slain upon the high places. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 4. What I have against thee, that thou hast left thy first love. So that if we look at these passages and we put them in a line, we get some thoughts that will challenge our hearts as to our own love for the Lord Jesus, making the application. I start with what we have in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And in that encounter, we find that there are several things that Jonathan, who was a king's son, gave to David. But the real lesson in this passage is not in what he gave, but what he did not give. Because that is what defined his life. And this is what really showed the depth of his love. And love is not just something that we say you feel, it's something that does, it acts. So that he stripped himself of many things that were related to his kingly position, that being the son of the king. But you realize he did not give him his shoes. And you say, but why is that important? Because in the feet we get the thought of walk. We get the thought of how you behave, how you act. So that he was prepared to give David all of these things. But in that simple act, he says, I'm not going to walk with you. Because David, we know, was in rejection. A lot of the time during Saul's reign, he had to be hiding in caves, etc. David was there. Jonathan loved him when he was in the palace with his father. He was not one of those mighty men or one of those who went to him where he was and was willing to say, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, I am prepared to walk with you. I'm not going to be long because I have a flight to catch and our brother Norris won't lend me his private plane to get to Jamaica, right? So He was not prepared to go there. So when we get to 2 Samuel chapter 1, this is after the death of Jonathan. You realize that little statement that was slain in the high places. Because he was not with David in the caves and in the places where he was. But he still loved him. I would not doubt the love that Jonathan had for David. Because David said, that love was so great it passed the love of woman. And it shows the depth of that love. And the thought I want us to ponder this morning, because I would never doubt anybody's love for the Lord. But when you think of your love for him, are you prepared to give him the robe, the dress, the girdle, the whatever, but hold on to your shoes? So you're not going to walk with him in his path of rejection. What does that look like in reality? It means that in the religious circle, where men claim to be followers of the Lord, they are many times not prepared to own him in reality and walk away from certain evil practices. If I'm going to walk with him, it means I have to be prepared to stand on his side and say, even though this is not the popular religious position, I am going to walk with my Lord. In the social circles, there are certain things that we can be involved in, culturally, etc., that are the norms of our society here in the US or in Jamaica, because that's how men behave, that's how we believe, that's how we socialize. And in doing that, you get ahead in this world. But many of those practices and beliefs are inconsistent with the scriptures. So it's not okay to join and be quiet. It's not okay to partake and say, oh, it's not that important. Walking with the Lord Jesus means I'm prepared to say, no, I cannot do that. I hate to use myself as an example, but as I said, that's the only thing I know. I can't speak about your experience, right? And I remember when I was offered the current job that I had, and I still think the president thought I was mad, because he offered me a job, a good offer. And I said to him, you know, I have to pray about it and discuss it with Bev first. And I could see the shock on his face as, this man, you're mad. But I just can't take up a job because it's offer money. I have to have the comfort of the Lord. And when I say to persons that, you can be a good lawyer, doctor, engineer, but a good Christian first. Because when you define yourself, you must always define yourself. I'm a Christian, but I do engineering. I'm not an engineer who practices Christianity. That's a very different perspective. And when that starts to be seen in your life, in your action, wherever you are, then people may not like you. Some may treat you a particular way, but there's a comfort knowing I'm walking with my Lord, because this is where he is. In home, family, wherever it is, walking with him means I'm going to stand on his side, even though it may not be pleasant. So Jonathan loved David, but he said, you take these things, I keep in my shoes. Because I'm not leaving the palace. The comforts of this life, they are not worthy to be compared to what we have in the Lord Jesus. The pathway walking with him, you know, it's sometimes rough. It's sometimes dreary. It's sometimes dark. It's sometimes the valley, the shadow of the valley of death. But you know, one of the peaceful things about all of that, you hear a voice that says to you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. So as you go through there and people look on, I've said to persons, you don't understand what it is to have tears running down your face and joy in your heart, because this is what he does when you walk with him. And I challenge us as we leave to think, how far am I prepared to go in my love for him? The final verse out of Revelation. He says to them, I have somewhat against you, or I have against you. Let me use the JND translation. You have left your first love. What does that mean? It speaks to a quality, an edge to that love. I'm going to pick on Luke. I know he has been married for quite a while, right? And I'm certain he'll tell you, when he met Dan first, his heart was being, what do you call it, catapulted.
Somersaulted. Somersault.
Was in somersaults. Every time he saw her, I thought about her. Some nights he couldn't sleep, couldn't eat, because there was just this freshness and joy in that love. And this is what the Lord says to those in this assembly. You have lost that special edge. He didn't say they didn't love him, you know. You have lost that special edge. And in our relationship with him, we need to keep that special edge, because that is what, as it were, gives us fuel for the journey. Because I come here this morning, am I excited to come? Or I came because if I don't come, I know Brother Norris is going to say, why you didn't come to meeting? But there should be this excitement when I come in the presence of the Lord. There should be this excitement when I go to pray to him in my home. Because I know that here's one I'm communing with that I love. As I walk through the day, my heart should be thinking about my wife. Yes, she'll kill me for saying not talking or thinking about her. But also, there should be that point where every moment, to be dramatic, there's that thought, there's one that loved me and gave himself for me, but I love him as well. You know the expression of the Shunammite, I am my beloved's, my beloved is mine. That should be something that's always in our heart, so that we recognize not just his love for us, but that our love for him is so great that I'm prepared to walk with him wherever he takes me, but also that I will never lose the freshness and the beauty and the sweetness of his love. I trust that these simple thoughts will challenge our hearts as we continue to serve him.